We began Mark chapter 4 with the parable of the seed, the sower, and the soil. We were reminded that God places a great deal of emphasis on the hearing of His Word. In fact, the first 20 verses, we come to understand that in this parable, the seed is the Word of God, the sower is Jesus Christ Himself, and the soil is our hearts. And let me remind you, there is no problem with the seed. And there is no problem with the sower. However, there is often a problem with the soil. Sometimes our hearts, that soil is hardened. In other words, we're apathetic, careless about God's Word being given unto us. Sometimes our hearts, our soil is shallow, happy in the beginning, but quit as soon as the going gets rough and difficulties come along the way, even confrontation. Sometimes Jesus said the soil, our hearts are crowded. The cares of this world, it chokes out the impact of the Word because the things of this world have become more important to us than the things of God. But for the soil to produce fruit, for it to have impact and blessings, it must fall on good soil. And good soil, according to this parable that Jesus is teaching us in the first 20 verses, good soil is that heart and life that hears the Word, accepts the Word, and obeys the Word. And I concluded last week that to come to Laurel Baptist Church routinely and listen to the teaching of God's Word without responding to that which it calls you to respond, then friend, your soil will eventually harden itself to where you lose all interest at all in His Word. So God places a great emphasis on how we hear His voice. And so here we are again. The theme of the text on the next section of verses, verses 21 through 34, is the same as the first 20 verses. And the theme is this: God deals with us. Are you listening? God deals with us on the basis of how we listen. Today, right now, God deals with you. God deals with me on the basis of how we listen to Him. So take, for instance, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 2. The Bible says, "For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached unto them did not profit them, because it was not mixed with faith in them that heard it." He says the same gospel that was preached unto you that believe is the same exact gospel that is preached unto them who do not believe. He says, what's the difference? The difference is in how you listen. Those who listen with faith, those who follow the Lord, they will hear His Word. They will accept His Word. They will obey His Word. But unless we come to His Word by faith, then we have not truly heard nor listened to the voice of God. That's why Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing. Faith doesn't come by feeling. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the voice, by the Word of God. Friend, I need you to listen to me very carefully. What distinguishes a true believer from an unbeliever? What distinguishes a true believer is that a true believer will love, hear, and obey the truth. And don't take my word for it. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said a true believer will love the voice of God, will hear the voice of God, and will follow the voice of God. Consider John chapter 10, verse 3. Jesus was teaching, and the sheep hear His voice. He calleth His own sheep by name. He leadeth them out. And when He putteth forth His own sheep, He goeth before them. And the sheep do what? They follow Him. They obey Him. Why? Because they know His voice. And a stranger will they not follow. That's interesting. He says a true believer will follow, will obey the voice of God. How do I know if I'm a true believer or not? Well, because a true believer, according to Jesus in John 10, 5, will never follow the voice of a stranger. In other words, a false teacher, a false shepherd. It's quite fascinating. Because Jesus goes on to say in verse 27 of John chapter 10, My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. Again, reminding us that what distinguishes a true believer is that they know the voice of God, and they love the voice of God, and they hear the voice of God, and they follow the voice of God. And this is where we come back to our text. And the title of our message. Are you listening? Because how you listening is very revealing of whether or not you're in the fold. Notice what Jesus said in Mark chapter 4, verse 23. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 24, and He said unto them, take heed what or how ye hear. In other words, Jesus is saying, listen carefully. Listen carefully to My voice, to My word, to these parables in that moment, to His teaching for all of us. Am I listening? Am I listening carefully to the Lord? Are you listening? Let's figure this thing out. Because number one, according to Jesus here, a true listener will obey the truth. How do I know if I'm listening to the voice of God or not? Well, here's one of the first characteristics, and that is a true listener. I mean, one who really listens to God. One who really hears the voice of God. It is inevitable that that person will obey the truth. Notice what He said in verse 21. Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed? And not to be set on a candlestick? What Jesus is doing is He's using a truism in this parable to bring home the point. That is, if you have been given a light, you're supposed to let that light shine. You don't take a candle and cover it with a basket or a bushel is the word He uses here. It's the same thing. You don't take a candle and cover it up with a basket. If you do, you'll extinguish the light. Even worse, you'll catch something on fire. You don't do that. Likewise, you don't take a candle and put it under your bed. It does no good there. The light must shine where it is useful to you. The light must shine where you can see the way. He says, if you have a candle, you're going to put that candle on a candlestick in order that it may give light. That's the parable. That's what Jesus is saying. And the implication of this is that Jesus is trying to help you and I understand that if we have been given the light of God's Word, we need to let that light shine through our obedience. Through our obedience. We sing that song growing up in children's church. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. It's not going around singing a song. This is a little light. A fooey on all that. Just obey the Bible. Listen to what God has to say. That's how you let the light shine. Obeying His truth. This is what true listeners do. Are you listening? True listeners. They don't hide the light. They don't throw it out. No, they take it and they let it shine. And they let it shine through their obedience. Sadly, I think some of us treat God in a way that we would never allow our children to treat us. say to our daughter, "Sweetheart, I need you to listen to me. Why don't you go over there and help your mother wash the dishes? You listening? Go in there and help your mother wash or wash the dishes, depending on what side of Charlotte you live on. Would you go in there and help your mother wash the dishes?" Then your daughter responds, "Dad, that may be for my brother, but that's not for me. Washing dishes may be my brother's thing, but that's not for me. So I would appreciate it if you would just not ask me about washing the dishes anymore. But if you don't mind, Dad, I'd like to have a few dollars so I can go out to the mall and catch a movie with my friends." Listen, if your child did that to you, you would blow a gasket. Why? Because the proof that they're really listening is when they obey. The proof that they're really following is when they obey. But yet we come to God like that. His voice speaks. He says, "I want you to do this. I want you to be that." Well, that may be for brother so-and-so. That may be for sister so-and-so. But God, that's not for me. So I'd appreciate it if you'd stop asking me. But if you don't mind, would you meet my bills this month? If you don't mind, would you give me that boat I've been praying about? Or at least make the one that I have work? How often is it that church-going people try to convince the world that they belong to the sheepfold of the heavenly shepherd, but they really follow His voice? And I just want to say sometimes that those of us have a tendency to be super spiritual. It makes no difference how much Bible you quote when you live like you never open it. The proof is in the pudding. I think sometimes in life we have two different lives. We have who we present to everybody that we are, and then we have the real us. And Jesus said, "That doesn't work in my sheepfold. Those who truly belong to me, those who are really listening to my voice, are those who obey it." And that's why he says in verse 22, "For there's nothing hid that will not be manifested." In other words, I'm going to make known my word to you. And he goes on to say, "Neither was anything kept secret, but that it should not become abroad." Hey, even the things that you don't have yet quite figured out, you're going to know it. You're going to understand it. I'm going to make my word, my voice known to you. And you have the responsibility, Jesus says, to obey what I make known unto you. I just want to remind you today, as listeners of His Word, we have the obligation to shine the light of His Word through faithful obedience. And so it begs the question, are you listening? Are you listening? Because a true listener will obey His truth. Number two, a true listener will appreciate the truth. A true listener will appreciate the truth. Well, how do I know? How do I know whether or not I'm really hearing God, really listening to Him? Well, do you obey that which He is saying to you? And do you appreciate His words in your life? Jesus goes back in verses 23 through 25. He goes back to this agricultural analogy. Notice it there in verse 23. He says, "Be careful, take heed, what, how ye hear, how ye listen. For with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given." In other words, the more you obey and appreciate, the more you obey and appreciate what God has spoken into your life, the more He will continue to speak into your life. Look at it again. He says, "With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you, and to you that hear shall more be given." If you listen and do what I've already told you to do, then I will tell you more to do. I will give you more blessing. I will show you more of my will and plan for your life. And that's where it comes to verse 25. "For he that hath, to him it shall be given. He that hath not, from him it shall be taken, even that which he hath." In other words, God says, or Jesus says here, He says God's going to bring an abundance of divine blessing into the lives of those who hear, obey, and appreciate His Word. But He will not only withhold blessing from those who do not appreciate His Word. He said those individuals will one day see that they were further away from God than they ever realized. That's what is meant when He says in verse 25, from hence shall it be taken even that which He hath. He says if you continue ignoring God's Word, if you don't appreciate the Bible, if you don't appreciate His truth, if you don't appreciate what He is teaching you, what He is showing you, then one day you're going to wake up and you're going to be so far away from God that you won't even be able to recognize His voice. But you'll lose interest. You'll forget what He has said. And worse, you'll forget what He sounds like. Jesus said, you have to appreciate what I'm saying to you. The more you appreciate, the more I will bless. The longer you go stopping your ears, not appreciating, not obeying, the further you're going to get away from me. And that's not God's will for us. In fact, Jesus said in John 10:10, I have come that you might have life and that you'll have it more abundantly. God wants you to live life happily. He wants you to live life joyfully. He wants you to have an abundance of blessings. But that abundance only comes to those who are listening, to those who appreciate His truth, and to those who obey His truth. Listen to me carefully. As you faithfully listen to God, you will discover on this journey that He gives many, 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 many more blessings than you and I ever deserve. It benefits you to listen to Him. Don't live your whole Christian life and do what some of you have done in this earthly life, regretting that you had not listened to that person God had placed in your life. You get older, you go through some difficulties, you look back. Had I only listened, had I only paid attention, had I only took their counsel and wisdom and advice. Some of us are spending our Christian life like that, listening to what we want to listen to. Only that which we agree with. Only that which makes us more comfortable. And my friend, one day you're going to get to the end of it all. And you're going to say, oh, how I would have recognized His voice. How that I would have just listened and appreciated where He had put me and what He was doing in my life. Had I only done more to hear what He was trying to say. Are you listening? Proverbs 28:20 says, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. You want the blessings of God on your life? Listen to Him. And whether or not you're listening is determined by if you obey His truth. And if you appreciate His truth. There's a third thing that Jesus draws our attention to about a true listener. A true listener not only obeys the truth and appreciates the truth. But number three, a true listener will sow the truth. He will sow the truth. Jesus now proceeds to teach them about how the kingdom of God will be established. And the emphasis here is on sowing the truth, giving the light, sharing the gospel. And the point is this, is that if you and I are truly, indeed, listening to the voice of God, then not only will we obey His voice and appreciate His voice, but we will sow His voice. We will sow His word. We will sow the gospel truth in the lives of others. And in these last verses, verses 26 through 34, he tells us exactly how we needed to be going about doing that. Number one, he says here, and these are in your notes as well as on the screen. The first thing here, he says, sow the truth in faithfulness. Sow the truth in faithfulness. Look at verse 26. Jesus said, so is the kingdom of God. As if a man, watch this, should cast seed into the ground. He says, this is what the kingdom of God is like. It's like a farmer who goes out and spends his day faithfully planting the seed. And he says, so it is with you who hear my voice. So it is with you who follow me. He says, you've got to be like that farmer. You've got to be like that man who gets up and he spends his day casting seed into the ground. Casting the gospel seed into people's lives. Casting the gospel truth wherever you work, wherever you live, wherever your path may lead you. He says, you've got to be just like that farmer. That's the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is filled with people who listen to my voice. They obey it. They appreciate it. And they sow that truth into the lives of others. As a man, verse 26, should cast seed into the ground. And let me remind you that there's no fruitful harvest if there's no faithful sowing. All of us need to be busy faithfully sowing the truth of the gospel into the lives of our spouses, our children, our parents, our relatives, our co-workers, our neighbors, wherever we go, casting seed in the ground, sowing the truth of the gospel, telling everybody about the grace and the mercy and the salvation of Jesus Christ. Don't think it strange to see no fruit from telling the gospel if you're not busy telling the gospel. And so that's what Jesus said the kingdom of God looks like. It's like a bunch of people who listen to my voice. They obey me. They appreciate me. They work for me. They're busy casting seed in the soil of people's lives. They're spreading the gospel. They're doing it faithfully. And so you and I understand that. I've got to sow the truth in faithfulness. But number two, sow the truth in dependency. This is so important that I need not only be faithful to sow the truth, but I have to be dependent on the right one when it comes to the truth of the gospel. Let me explain what I mean. Look at verse 27. Jesus said, this farmer, this man who casts seed in the ground, he sleeps, he rises night and day. That means he gets up, he sows seed, he goes to bed. He gets up, he sows seed, he goes to bed. He gets up, he sows seed, he goes to bed. And some of you right now are thinking, you know, I wish there was more to my life. We try to find it in so many different things. Isn't it ironic that the kingdom of God, in Jesus' own words, he says, this is what your life ought to look like. You ought to get up, sow seed, and go to bed. Get up, sow seed, go to bed. And some of us apply that differently. Some of us get up at 5 in the morning, sow seed, go to bed at 8. Some of us get up at lunchtime, sow seed, and go to bed at 3. All right, it's different for all of us. But the bottom line is this. He says, this is what your life ought to be. A routine, like a farmer, getting up, sowing seed, going to bed. Getting up, sowing seed and going to bed. And notice what he says in verse 27. That when that farmer does that, the seed springs up and grows. You see it? Now here's the phrase you need to underline and mark because it's so important. But he knoweth not how. Fascinating, isn't it? The farmer's busy sowing the seed throughout the day, gets up, sows the seed, goes to bed. He resumes the same. All the while, this seed that he's casting into the ground starts producing a harvest. And Jesus is honest. No matter how much agricultural training, education, or background that kind of man has, he knows that it works. He just doesn't know how it works. He didn't think about that. How does that seed, and some of you smart alecks are going to come at it to me after church and go say, well, Pastor, I'll tell you how it works. You know, that seed's got this phosphorus in it and it's got this pH and all this. Okay, I understand that. But the bottom line is you still don't know and understand how seed goes in the ground and can produce all that it does. You know why you can't understand that? Because God does that. God does that. And that's the point Jesus is trying to make. This farmer sows seed all day long. All of a sudden, it starts sprouting, grows, presents, but he doesn't know how. He just sows the seed. That's all he can do. And then that farmer is left to depend upon the mysterious work of the seed to produce what it will. And Jesus says, that, my friend, is the work of the gospel. I don't know how God changes lives. I mean, I know it works. I believe His Word and I trust Him and I see it in your life and I see it in my life. I know that the day I got saved, God changed me, and this mysterious work of the gospel, that seed that was planted in my life, is producing a harvest of work for Him. I mean, I know it works. I can't explain to you how it works. I just know God does it, and it works. And that's what He's saying when it comes to you and I giving the gospel. All we have to do is sow the seed. Just give the truth. Just give the gospel. And let God do the work that only He can do. And I want to remind you today that it is not human effort that produces salvation in the life of another. Some of you are burdened with that. Well, if I only knew what to say to my family. If I only knew the techniques. If I only had that Bible college training, that pastor. You don't need any of that. It's not about techniques. It's not about manipulation. It's not about clever religious marketing. None of us can produce salvation in someone else. All we can do is give them the truth. All we can do is sow the seed and then depend upon God to produce the power of salvation in someone's life. It's not manipulation. It's not marketing. None of us, no matter how persuasive our personalities are, none of us can change somebody's heart. Isn't that the hardest thing about parenting, folks? So hard. Want your kids to do right and you feel like you have control over everything else, but there's this one thing you don't have control of. Only God does. The heart. And we can read every book there is to read. We can take every seminar there is to take. I can never change a child's heart. I can never change a sinner's heart. I can't do that. But God can. So I better be sure that I'm depending on the right source. And that's not on my education. It's not on my know-how. It's not on my cleverness. No, it's on God's power and God's ability to take that little seed that I put in somebody's life and then produce the power that can change them through His work of grace. The point I'm trying to make is that all you can do is give them the truth. That's what Jesus said. Here's the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is filled with people like you and me who are just busy giving people the truth. And that's all they can do. Just give people the truth. And so we're dependent upon Him. We're dependent upon His promise that what God begins, He will finish. By the way, you can't start salvation in somebody's life and you can't stop it. What God begins, Philippians says, He will perform it. He will do it. He will finish it. So what do we got to do? We got to get up, give the truth, go to bed. And I'll be honest with you, that's kind of liberating. I get up, I give the truth, I go to bed. I give up, get up, excuse me, give the truth, and go to bed. All the while, I watch the mysterious work of the gospel change people. And I don't know how, but I know it works. Sow the seed in faithfulness. Just cast it. Sow the seed in dependence. It's not our ability, it's His. Sow the seed. Let Him produce the power. Number three, and we're finished. Sow the truth in confidence. Jesus says in verse 30, and notice the first three words, and he said. It appears like there was a question asked, though Mark didn't record it.
Same thing in verse 26. It's almost like the disciples were asking a question, and he said, it's an implication that Jesus is answering questions here. And here's what we got to understand. We got to understand that during this moment of Jesus' teaching 2,000 years ago, that his followers were simply this new group of people in just a small region, okay? It's not like we know his followers today. They have millions of people scattered around the world. It's not like that at all. In fact, when Jesus was given this teaching, there was just a small group of them, and this was all new to them. So I think the question implied here in verse number 30 might have been, Jesus, how are we going to get this message to the world? Okay, if we're supposed to sow the truth and get up, give the gospel, go to bed, get up, give the gospel, go to bed, how is this going to get to the whole world? How is your kingdom going to be built that way? If indeed that's what your kingdom looks like. And so what Jesus does in verses 30 through 32 particularly, he says right now the kingdom is like a grain of mustard seed, right? It's just a small group of people right here off of the shore of Galilee. It's just us. Small. Appears to be weak. It appears to be frail. It appears to be this insignificant following. It's just a grain of mustard seed. But when it is sown, Jesus says, look at it. Follow kind of the paraphrase that I'm giving you in verses 30 and 31. He says, but when it is sown, it's going to grow into this larger than life tree. Okay? So what Jesus is doing is he's prophetically telling him that this thing right now, yes, it looks small, it looks frail, it looks weak now. But if you'll be faithful to sow the truth in the centuries to come, this seed is going to produce a harvest by which God's kingdom will not only be established on this earth, but it'll be established forever and ever. And guess what? 2,000 years later, right now on this Sunday in Charlotte, North Carolina, the year 2017, we are the fulfillment of the prophecy of what Jesus said. This small group, if you'll just sow the seed, it'll produce this larger than life tree called followers and disciples of Jesus Christ. He was trying to help them be confident that if they would just listen to him and obey and appreciate and get up, give the gospel and go to bed, if they would just listen to him and sow the truth, he was giving them confidence that God would work in ways that they could hardly ever imagine that he would do. I don't think there's a person here that could honestly think the disciples on that shoreside that day could look this far in the future and see that this is what that little seed in which they started would now produce. What does that mean for us? That means you keep sowing the seed. Because until Jesus comes, he is still building his kingdom. And the prophecy, the tree, is still growing. It's hard sometimes to think we're just a small, average-sized church in Charlotte, North Carolina. Pastor, the needs are so great around the world. Now, how is our church going to really make that big of a difference, that big of an impact? Why don't you look around you, number one? There was a day when we started with just 30 people. None of us believed that God would do what he did. But he gave us confidence that if we would just listen to him, we would just listen to him, he would do things that we probably never imagined. Some of you, God has changed your life because of the faithful seed sowing of people in this church. Someone knocked on your door. Somebody invited you. Somebody shared on social media a link to our church. A friend said, hey, I know this church in Charlotte. You need to go check it out. You came. You heard the gospel. It was given to you. You believed. You've received Christ. You've grown. We could go right down the line, story after story of how that little insignificant, what we think insignificant seed is planted. God says, just have confidence, just believe. You may not know what this thing's going to turn out to be, but God says, I know what it's going to turn out to do. Just sow the seed and then watch me do the work. And we must not give up now. There are more missionaries to be sent. There are still people in your neighborhood who need to be saved. There are still people who've never heard that Jesus Christ can take their problems and use them for His glory. So what do? I need to listen. I need to listen to His voice. I obey it, appreciate it. Sow the seed. Get up, sow the seed. Go to bed. Get up, sow the seed. Go to bed. And that's the question. Are you listening? Because if you're truly listening to the voice of God, you'll obey the truth. That's the doctrine of Jesus. My sheep, Jesus said, hear me and follow me. My sheep, Jesus said, don't follow a stranger. They follow me. And those who follow a false teacher, a stranger, Jesus said, they're not in my sheep. Are you listening? Those who listen to the voice of God, they obey Him. They appreciate Him because the more they appreciate, the more God gives. The more they appreciate, the more God gives. It's like with your children. The more they obey and do right, the longer the leash gets. All the blessings of God that He wants you to enjoy are contingent on you obeying and appreciating His voice. And if you're really listening, you're going to be busy sowing the seed. It's time to stop using the excuse, I haven't been trained, I haven't been told, I don't know how, I don't have the charisma, I don't have the personality. Jesus said, you sowing the truth is like a farmer who gets up, gives the gospel, goes to bed. And God does the work. I said it at the beginning, I'll say it again. God deals with us on the basis of how we listen. So are you listening? Because the answer to that question tells you everything you need to know about where you are, how you got here, and where you assume you're going.